This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Captain Pete Hegseth, who is also chairman of the Vets for Freedom organization. Captain Hegseth is currently serving in the U.S. Army National Guard. We want to get his thoughts as President Obama continues to weigh his options as to the proper course to take in Afghanistan. The commanding general there, of course, Stanley McChrystal, has said time is of the essence. It's not on our side currently. And he's asking for about 30,000 to 40,000 additional troops there to accomplish what he says is still a winnable mission. And Pete, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, first of all, what we've heard from this administration to this point is that Afghanistan, as a result of the Iraq War, where you served with the 101st Airborne Division, because of that, Afghanistan was the neglected war. From what you've heard from your members and your own observation of the theater there, is that accurate?
Well, I think that was accurate, very much so, because of the correct focus, I believe, on Iraq, because of the strategic significance of the course in Iraq and the need to surge there. Since then, however, President Obama has put emphasis on Afghanistan. He announced a change in strategy in March to a counterinsurgency. He installed his own commander, General McChrystal, and added 21,000 additional troops to support the election. So he has changed that. The question now is, will we allow the policy to sort of drift in the sense there, even though we've changed strategy, will we resource it properly or not? But the question you asked was, have we been paying requisite attention to it prior to this change in strategy? And I don't think we have, but we have a chance now to turn it around.
Given what you've heard from those who have served in Afghanistan, what's their sense on McChrystal's recommendations, that it's still winnable? And what do they think about his strategy and the troop numbers required to do it?
You know, I've heard from a lot of guys about that, many of which have returned recently. And you know, it's a tough fight there. It's so different as far as the terrain and the tribes and the enemy and the haven in Pakistan and the drug trade. There's so many different variables there that make Afghanistan eminently complicated. However, the storyline that comes out from everyone is it's still something that it's still a fight we can win and succeed in, provided we have the right strategy in a counterinsurgency where we're finally protecting the population and training Afghan forces at the same time. But the big one is boots on the ground. Will we have the amount of troops we need to see that strategy through? Strategy is only one part of it. And if we are doing what we did in Iraq, essentially, before the surge, if we're pursuing a whack-a-mole approach without enough troops, then we won't succeed. But if we resource it and give McChrystal what he needs to dampen the enemy, bring the violence down, which is the first step in a counterinsurgency, bring the violence down, partner with Afghan forces, train them to a point where they can take over from us, then I think we've got an opportunity for a successful outcome. That's exactly what happened in Iraq, and we've got the same leadership in Afghanistan that I believe can do the same thing.
The key oftentimes, Pete, as you know, is for the political and the military figures to be on the same page. From what we're reading, it seems the likes of Petraeus and McChrystal and Mullen are on board with all this, whereas the likes of Vice President Biden and maybe not even Defense Secretary Gates are. So how does this all break down in the end?
Oh, man, I think it breaks down to I don't know how it's going to break down, because it does seem that there are two very distinct camps on this one. Popularity of the war is heading in the wrong direction because violence has spiked. The question is, will we listen to the experts? Will we listen to the commanders on the ground who understand what's going on? General McChrystal is the most deployed member of our military since 9/11, I believe, having served 5 years in Iraq and now commanding in Afghanistan. The guy knows the theater better than anyone. If he's making these recommendations, he's not doing so lightly. He's not doing so because he wants to put more troops in harm's way or because he wants to see American casualties go up. He's doing it because he believes ultimately that we can be successful. He's not making a political calculus, and I think those in the White House and others, that's certainly always a factor in any decision with a president. So hopefully he will listen to his commanders and allow their sound advice to carry the day.
There's a discrepancy, Pete. On one side, you have those who say that the president should take as much time as he needs. There's a lot of different factors, as you mentioned, a lot of complicating issues. On the other hand, time is not on our side, and it appears as though this is taking longer than some people would have liked. Which is the more pressing point from your perspective?
I think it's absolutely imperative that a decision be made soon. There was a strategy review that Obama undertook on Afghanistan when he first took over that resulted in his announcement of a change in strategy in March. Now they're doing another review that brought along with it an ask for a particular amount of troops. It seems to me that they're buying more time. I hope to be deliberate and make sure that it's the right course of action, but I'm not sure why, because every single day that they delay. There's another day that our soldiers and Marines are on distant battlefields at distant outposts, taking on a resurgent enemy without enough troops and not enough resources. Day by day by day, we make their mission that much more difficult. So if he believes it's a fight we must win, which is something candidate and President Obama have said, it's a war of necessity that we must win. If he believes what he said, then he needs to resource it properly, and I still have faith that he will.
Ultimately, in terms of getting the Afghans ready, there's obviously questions about the competency and corruption of the Karzai government. There's also concerns about adequately training Afghani troops to do the job when and if we leave. So what's your sense on those two questions?
Boy, same questions in many ways that we faced in Iraq. I served with a lot of our Iraqi security forces that we didn't feel very confident about. But a lot of times their sort of level of effort and the confidence in themselves as far as local security forces depends on the level of commitment they see from the United States. Do they believe the United States is going to stand behind them in the tough days and give them a time to build the capacity to be the strongest entity in that country? We did that through the surge in Iraq and in Afghanistan with a robust training effort alongside a robust conventional effort. We can create the conditions for the Afghanis who want their country back. They don't like the Taliban. They don't, you know, the Taliban consistently polls at about a 5% popularity rating. People don't want Taliban rule, but they haven't seen yet evidence that Americans are completely committed to stabilizing their country and handing it over to a competent Afghani government. As far as the Afghan government, that is a much more difficult piece. I think the violence has to come down before they can deliver what, you know, capable, any level of capable services. But even there, it's not going to be as centralized a government as we have in Iraq. It's just not the history of that country.
Pete, how do the troops view all this in terms of what they see emerging politically? We're starting to see a little bit of the same track record that we saw in Iraq. There's a split in Congress. There's a growing divide among the American people. Obviously, the difference in the White House is clear that the president went forward with additional troops and a new strategy in Iraq, and we still don't know what President Obama is going to do here. But as we kind of sit in limbo here, how does this affect the troops, if at all?
Well, I thankfully, you know, they're going to put their head down and they're going to execute the orders given in front of them, and they're going to do a dang good job of it. However, though, it can't help but seep into the consciousness. You know, does that soldier out on a distant outpost in Afghanistan want to risk his life if he doesn't believe that his commander-in-chief or his generals are going to provide him the backups, the reinforcements, the air support that he needs to ultimately overtake that enemy? I think that's a question that begins to creep in if it's not resourced properly. So that's why it's imperative on the commander-in-chief, I think, to ensure that his forces on the ground are given every opportunity to win. To win, not just not to lose, not just to sort of survive or stay in place, but to push back the gains of the Taliban and take back that country, not for the Afghans, but for our own national security, because it's imperative that al-Qaeda and the Taliban do not have a haven again from which to launch future attacks. So the morale of our troops is going to depend on the extent to which they're given a strategy and the resources they believe they need to win.
Last question before we let you go, Pete. Some say that most of our highest profile targets have moved into Pakistan, and so that's where we ought to be focusing our efforts right now rather than where they were 8 years ago. What do you make of that?
Well, I think we need to keep the pressure on in Pakistan. There are a lot of credible claims, a lot of intel coming out that indeed al-Qaeda is spending most of its time and is orchestrating most of its operations out of Pakistan. I think the Obama administration's decision to be aggressive in those areas of the hills of Pakistan, I think, is a good one. We need to keep the pressure on them there. But the outcome in Afghanistan will have bearing on the extent to which the Pakistani government thinks it has an ability to take on extremists within its own midst. So Afghanistan still matters, but we definitely need to keep the pressure on Pakistan to ensure they're hunting down the Islamic extremists in their area too.
Pete, unfortunately, our time is up. Always great to be with you, sir. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Captain Pete Hegseth is now with the U.S. Army National Guard. He's also chairman of Vets for Freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.